Suing the state may be the answer for some schools and some school districts, but what do you do if your school says there's no money for football, the Spanish club, or for student government? Eric Brady is a sports reporter at USA Today. He's written about how pay-to-play has become an option for an increasing number of public schools that want to provide sports and other extracurricular activities, an option that's not very popular. He's now with us by phone from Pennsylvania. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Pay-to-play sounds pretty simple. If you want your kid to pay to play a certain sport, maybe you pay the school a little extra.
Yeah, that's right. And in some cases, it's more than a little. And one of the places that we visited in Fairfield, Ohio, it's $630 to play a sport now. And if you're playing three of them, that gets a little hefty.
How prevalent is this practice?
Well, we surveyed all 50 state associations, that's the state sports associations, and found that 34 of them have at least some school districts that have pay-to-play, and 16 that said they either don't have it or aren't aware of it, and found only three states where it is banned. There are school districts that would like to charge pay-to-play, but they're not allowed to do it.
I assume that among the critics of this option are parents.
Well, parents are absolutely, coaches as well. It puts a lot of pressure on coaches because when it gets called pay to play, a parent who has paid believes that their kid ought to be able to play. And a lot of the districts are now calling it pay to participate for just that reason.
Now, we've been talking about disparities between wealthier and poorer school districts in terms of education. I assume that translates to sports in general and pay to play in particular.
Yeah, you know, We did a story a couple of months earlier that showed that the school districts from the richest zip codes win state championships at a far greater rate than the top quadrant, than the other three quadrants. So, the school districts that have the most money do win more often than those that don't. However, as far as pay-to-play, we found that that's most prevalent in the richer school districts and is less likely to happen in the poor or rural districts. One reason a professor who studied this told us he believes that happens is that in the suburbs, parents are already used to paying for kids who are on travel teams for basketball and soccer, for example.
Or any kind of a number of after-school programs that aren't necessarily at the school. But a question, if you wanted to try tennis or football or whatever, how do you know if you're any good at it unless you've tried out, but you have to pay ahead of time?
Exactly right. And some of those sports have cuts, and most of the schools, if you didn't make the team, will get you the money back. But the other thing that happens is, what if you've already been on a team and you knew that you're a reserve, and now this year they're going to ask you to pay $630, and you'd be happy to sit on the bench again, but not at those prices. So what they have found is that it does bring the participation rates down, just as you'd expect.
Eric Brady, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Eric Brady, a sports reporter at USA Today, joined us by phone from Pennsylvania. When we come back from a short break, different ways to keep track of the Olympic Games, from television to the cable to the web. How are you watching the games? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, or send us an email, TOTN at NPR.org. I'm Neil Conan, Talk of the Nation, NPR News.